Morning. Praise God. This is a blessed opportunity to be able to serve you today for God's glory. Indeed, it's been a long time. Sa mga hindi ko nakakilala sa akin, sabi ni Brother Joey, parang sinaunang-sinauna eh. Huwag ko kayong mag-alala, nung nagsimula po ako ay itim pa ho ang buhok ko at makapal pa. Ngayon ay halos kapareho na po ng senior pastor natin. Yan. But indeed, it is a blessing today to serve you. And before we go on with the preaching of the word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we honor you, Lord, for you are the God of the word. And you are the God who is worthy to be honored and exalted in our lives. I pray, Lord, that in your grace, you will grant us, Lord, the love for you and for your word. That you will instruct us, O God, and enlighten us where we need enlightenment. That you will correct us where we need correction. That you will rebuke us where we need rebuke. And I pray, Lord, in your grace, humble us. For you will be the one speaking to us, Lord. And by your grace, Lord, I stand before you asking for your mercy and enabling that I may honor you in the proclamation of your word. It is your truth. It is your word, Lord, not mine. And so, Lord, in your grace, enable me. Anoint me, O Holy Spirit. Work, Lord, in our midst. Speak to each one of us. O Lord, thank you that you are always ahead of us. And so, Lord, in your grace, work now in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you will also grant discernment in our spirit, that as we listen, may we continually be like the Bereans who continually search the truth for your glory. As well as, Lord, help us to continually search our hearts so that we may honor you and glorify you. We now commit this time to you, asking now for your blessing in the preaching of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If I will give a title to our preaching today, I entitled it, Having a Steadfast Heart in Our Worship of God. Having a steadfast heart in our worship of God. We will be looking at Psalm 57. Please open your Bibles there. If I will start with the introduction, I will first start with the question, how is your worship of God? How is your personal, private worship of God? How's your corporate worship or public worship? Are you growing in your worship of God, or are you struggling in your worship of God? In the years that pass by, how's your assessment of your worship life? How's your worship when you are blessed? And how's your worship when you are in a difficult situation? We need to understand, brethren, that when God save us to worship Him. God did not save us for the sake of just going to heaven. God save us to worship Him. God save us to glorify Him. If we will look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Now take note of those verses. It says that you were chosen by God, that you may declare the praises of Him. That's worship. That you may declare the excellencies of your God in your life. Before, you were an enemy of God. You are not a people of God, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You were saved. Before you were not, but now you were saved. And you are called to declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's the reason why the joy of your life should be to worship the one who saved you. That should be the heart of a true believer. Now, let's just read Psalm 57. I will be reading from the NASB version. Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. Awake my glory. Awake harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your loving kindness is great to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. In our Bibles, in Psalm 57, it is entitled Prayer for Safety from the enemies. And it is even mentioned that it is to the chief musician, to the theme, Do Not Destroy. Okay, this is written by David. Okay, now of course, when we look at the phrase, Do Not Destroy there, means that's a tune. Okay, ito po ay nakakonekta sa kung paano po ito tinutugtog o inaawit. Okay, so the melody Do Not Destroy was assigned also to Psalm 58, Psalm 59, and even Psalm 75. It is mentioned also that this psalm is a miktam of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. You can see this in in 1 Samuel chapter 21, 22, 23, and the following chapters as well. Now, when we talk about miktam there, since it is a miktam of David, it is actually a term found in the headings of several psalms, but actually, the meaning of miktam is debated. But it is generally understood to indicate a special or significant composition, possibly related to its value, importance, or a specific musical or liturgical context. That's the meaning of miktam. Okay? Miktam is not an Ilocano word. Okay? Miktam. Baga kakininanang mo. Hindi ko ganun yan. Makitam pala yan. Okay? Now, we can see that after David's deliverance from Gath, recorded in Psalm 56, also mentioned in 1 Samuel 21, where he met Achish, David eventually fled for protection to the cave of Adullam, according to 1 Samuel chapter 22. And later on, he would move to the cave in En-Gedi. Now, we know that he fled from Saul because Saul would want to kill him. That's the reason why he fled. That's the reason why we can also say that it is better to be in the will of God in a cave than out of His will in a king's palace. And indeed, that is God's plan for him to be in a cave and indeed seek God's will and purpose for his life. Now, this psalm covers one day in David's life as a fugitive. For verse 4 records his lying down, and verse 8, his waking up to greet the dawn. Now, God quieted his heart and gave him the sleep he needed in order for him to be able to rest. Now, in this psalm, you could see also the repetitions of gracious or mercy or refuge in verse 1, the repetition of the word send in verse 3, the repetition of the word steadfast in verse 7, the word awake in verse 8, and the refrain of verse 5 and verse 11. And from David's difficult experience in Gath, David shares with us some responsibilities and privileges believers have every day. Now, before I go on, let's first define steadfast. Now, steadfast means staying the same for a long time and not changing quickly or unexpectedly. When you say that you are steadfast, it means that you are immovable and not subject to change. And it could also mean firm in belief, determination, or adherence. It means loyal. Okay? And indeed, if we would want to study more steadfast or look the word steadfast, we can say that a steadfast heart is fixed on the Lord's promises and not wavering between doubt and faith. Just like Psalm 108 verse 1 says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing. I will sing praises even with my soul." It is also mentioned in Psalm 112 verse 7, "He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord." So that's what it means to be steadfast. Now, when we talk about steadfastness, yes, we can be steadfast, but the main thing is, to whom are we steadfast? To whom are we steadfast? You can be immovable, you can be determined, you can be loyal, but to whom do you give your steadfastness, your loyalty? Okay? And today, brethren, we will be answering the question, where does our steadfastness to worship come from? And we will be looking at two important things. First, our steadfastness to worship comes from our understanding of who God is in our lives, particularly in verses 1 to 6. And the second is, our steadfastness to worship comes from our willful and determined heart to exalt and glorify God in verses 7 to 11. Now, let's look at the first one. Our steadfastness to worship comes from our understanding of who God is in our lives. Let's read it again, verse 1 to 6. "Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until destruction passes by. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it." Brethren, when we talk about this truth, we can say that we believers, our steadfastness comes from our relationship with God. In our psalm, brethren, we can see that David is steadfast to his God. He may be going through difficulty because Saul is looking for him to kill him. But in the midst of his trial, he is steadfast before our God. And we have to ask ourselves, are we steadfast with God? Now, why is David steadfast? David is steadfast because he knew his God. Do you know your God? Oh, it's so easy to say, yes, I know him. But do you know him deeply? Because to say that you know God, it means you have a relationship with him. Because for David, he knew his God. He has a relationship with him. And David knows that this is not a mere knowledge thing, but rather something that brought effect and changes in his life. He knew his God. It changed him. As we look at the verses, brethren, David knew that he is a gracious God and that he is a place of refuge in verse 1. He knew that. And when you say gracious, brethren, sometimes in the other versions it is mentioned mercy or God being merciful, but when we look at God's grace and mercy, it means God's favor upon us. And in this verse, David is asking God's favor to be upon him in his situation. Lord, you are God who is merciful. I know you that you are merciful. I know that you are a gracious God. I know that you are the God of favor. Lord, I come to you. He knows his God being gracious and a place of refuge. When we see the word refuge there, it talks of God's protection upon us. He knew, David knew, that God is indeed the one who can protect him from the situation that he is going through. If we will look at verse 2, brethren, David knew God as the Most High and the one who accomplishes all things for him. When we say Most High, he acknowledged that he is the highest in everything in his life. He understood that his God is higher than anything, the highest above all. And that is something that we should also see in our lives, that God must be highest in everything in our lives. And I like the other one, that he knew that God is the one who accomplishes all things for him. Wow, brethren. Just imagine to understand that God is the one accomplishing all things in our lives. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God knows. God knows, and he will accomplish his purpose and his plan in your life and mine, brethren. And he is the one who accomplishes all things, and that is for his glory. Which means God completes the full process, even allowing you to go through the needed stages in order for you to complete his purpose and his plan. And that's what means for him to accomplish all things for us. In verse 3, David knew that he is the Savior and will reproach his enemies. In verse 3. Now, the Savior there is not talking about Savior as what Christ has done for us, but the word Savior there means deliverance out of danger. He knew that he is, that God is the one who will deliver David from the situation that he has with Saul. And with that, he knew that God being a Savior, he will experience the benefits of being rescued by God. And he did. It is a blessing for us to understand that God is our Savior. That he is the one who is always with us in all our troubles and dangers in life. That he is there to benefit us also as he rescues us from our trials, troubles, and testings in life. He knew, David knew, that God is the one who will reproach his enemies. That God will be the one to put down his enemies. He will be the one to stop the enemies from attacking him. David knew his God. In verse 3 also, he knew God's loving kindness and truth. Now, brethren, loving kindness concerning his situation, he see that God's loving kindness pertains to God's mercy, to God's goodness, to God's kindness, to God's unchanging love in the midst of what he is going through. He understood God's truth, that God's word, God's promises is reliable, that God is faithful, as some verses also translate it, brethren. David knew that God is trustworthy and faithful in his life. In verse 4, he knew that God knows his enemies who cause his problem through lies. In verse 4, it says, "My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword." Brethren, David knew that God knows what the enemy is doing. He knew that God does not slumber nor sleep. Also mentioned in Psalm 121, verse 3 and 4. It is a blessing to know that our God does not slumber or sleep. He knew what is happening. He is not surprised with the events in your life. He knew what you are going through. David knew that his God is an all-knowing God, that nothing slips him. Wala akong nakakalampas sa kanya. He sees everything. And praise God that we have a God like that. And that should bring security in us and in our hearts when we are going through difficulties like this. In verse 5, he knew that his God is worthy to be exalted above the heavens and that he must be glorified above all the earth in his situation. That's why he said, "Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth." Now, when you look at this verse in the Psalm, this verse seems out of the picture in the verses that we have read already. But David here, if you would see it clearly, David here is seeking God's glory and exaltation in what he is going through. And this is important for us, brethren, that we need to see God's glory, that God will be exalted even in the things that we are going through in life. That God must be honored, that God must be glorified. That God is not glorified only when we are in our blessings, but rather be glorified also when we are going through trials and difficulties in life. He allowed that to happen. God allows all these things to happen for his glory and for his honor. Take note that David may be in a difficult situation as a fugitive running away from Saul, but God is still worthy to be glorified and exalted in his circumstance. In verse 6, David knew what God could do to his enemies, for his confidence is in God who knows him and who knows his enemies. It says, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. David knew everything, that in everything, God is in control. He sees all things. He is sovereignly in control of all things. And praise God that we have a God like that. David knew his God. If we will run through it, David knew that his God is gracious, that God is his place of refuge, that God is the Most High God, the one who accomplishes all things for him. He knew that God is his Savior, that God will reproach his enemies. He knew that his God is full of loving kindness and truth. He knew that God knows his enemies. David knew that his God is worthy to be exalted above the heavens and that he must be glorified above all the earth in his situation. He knew that God knew what God could do to his enemies, for his confidence is in God who knows him and who knows his enemies. And brethren, that is David. The question is, how about you? How about you? Brethren, do you experience God that way in your life? If you don't have Jesus yet in your life, you can't experience this. You need first to have a relationship with Jesus by surrendering your life to Him, by acknowledging your utter incapability to save yourself from the wrath of God because of your sin. And what you need to do is to believe Christ's perfect sacrifice on the cross on your behalf to be saved. And God is reaching out to your heart. He wants you to be saved. If you still don't have that relationship with Him, God wants you also to experience what David experienced with his relationship with God. Now, if you are a believer, you claim that you have a relationship with Him. The question is, do you know God more deeply in your daily life? Again, do you know God more deeply in your daily life? In your day-to-day living, whether at home, at school, or work, are you learning to know God more in His character and deeds? The Bible reminds us in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity." Amen. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. You need to ask yourself, are you still awed by the greatness of your God? Do you still see Him as great in your life? Or are you forgetting already who your God is? Does His greatness diminish in your life? Does it become vague already that you don't see Him anymore in His workings in your life? Brethren, this is important because every day we need to be awed of the greatness of our God. Because brethren, we know, or I know, brethren, that the more you see God in your life, the deeper your worship of Him. Make note of that. The more you see God in your life, in the daily affairs of your life, the deeper your worship of Him. And brethren, your daily experience of Him will change your life. And you need to ask yourself, do I experience God in the details of my life? Do I see Him in my work? Do I see Him in my home? Do I see Him in the way God works in my life, in my children, in my wife? Do I see You, God, still great and awesome in my life? We need to ask this, brethren, because even the years that passed in our lives, we may be already in the Christian faith for a long period of time, but do you still have that zeal and passion for God? Have you grown deeper? Or is it just the same thing? We need to ask ourselves. Because indeed, your daily experience of Him will change your life. And take note, brethren, this happens as you learn to appreciate Him, to thank Him, to enjoy Him, and look for Him in the details of your life. When you give thanks, do you really give thanks to God and appreciate Him? Do you enjoy Him in His working in your life? Do you look for Him in the details of your life? And brethren, this includes your trials, your struggles, your problems, and your blessings. This must not be focused only on your blessings, because it's easy to praise God or to worship God or to thank God when we are blessed, when everything is provided, when you are taken cared by God. But how about when you are facing trials? Do you thank God? When you are in the struggles of your life, do you still thank Him? When you face problems, do you still honor Him as your God? Remember, brethren, that in this psalm, David is facing trouble. But for us, brethren, if we will come to think of it, the more that we are focused on ourselves, our problems, and the things that we expect will happen in our lives, we can see God. If we are focused on ourselves, we cannot see God. Because in our troubles, we may be complaining. We may be angry, annoyed of our situation. But when we are doing that, brethren, did something worthwhile happen to us? Did something worthwhile happen to you in your complaining? When you are annoyed with your situation, when you are angered by the situations in your life because of the problems, did something worthwhile happen to you? Did anything in your situation add something to your spirituality or knowledge of God? Does your problem bring you closer to God or far away from Him? Ask yourself, did your situation brought you closer to God, the God of your salvation? Take note, God saved you from the wrath of God and the pit of hell. Is He not able to help you in your situation? Do you remind yourself of the gospel, of how He saved you? Do you remind yourself of how God showed His favor upon you? We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve Him. We deserve His wrath because of our sinfulness. But in His grace, we had been saved. But is that all? We are saved. But when it comes to problems and trials, we forget Him as if what He has done for us is nothing? No. Brothers, sisters, we are reminded that we are to go back to Him always to see that He is God over us. That from the time of our salvation, even to the days of our sanctification where God allows us to go through trials, testings, difficulties, problems, God is there with us, sanctifying us, maturing us for His glory. It may be difficult, but He is with us. Brethren, we need to be reminded also that in our nature, we are sinful beings. And in our sinfulness, we can set aside God in the daily affairs of our lives. And when that is happening, brethren, it brings deterioration in our relationship or walk with God. Why? Because we are living as if we weren't saved by the grace of God. Let's not forget that God saved us. That even in our trials, He is with us. Brethren, in these areas of our lives, we may be taking for granted what God has blessed us with, meaning our salvation, particularly what we receive from Him, the gift of eternal life, the gift of relationship with Him. Let's not take that for granted. That's why, brethren, allowing God to be part of your daily life will have a tremendous effect on the way you worship Him. That's the reason why we need to be close to God. We need to see Him in the details of our lives, even in small things, not only in big things. We need to see Him. And that's the first point, brethren. Our steadfastness to worship comes from our understanding of who God is in our lives. Now let's look at the second point. Our steadfastness to worship comes from our willful and determined heart to exalt and glorify God. Verse 7 to 11. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. Here, brethren, I am using the words willful and determined to support the word steadfast because worshiping God is a personal decision that we make. True worship is a choice. You decide to worship Him. And that is expressed by the word I will in our verses. David said, I will sing, I will awaken the dawn, I will sing praises, I will give thanks. That's a decision, brethren. That's why we can say also that a heart that is not decided will not do anything and will not honor God. And brethren, the decision implies readiness. Sorry. The decision implies readiness of the heart. It implies determination. It implies determination, brethren. Now, take note that praise is not our natural response in a time of trial. Our natural response is to complain, to worry, to get angry at God, or to get depressed. But even though David's enemy had fixed a net to catch him, David had fixed his heart to praise God. And we need to see that in this psalm. The repeated affirmations, "I will," show that it was a matter of deliberate choice. He said, "I will sing, yes, I will sing praises." Look at David behind the situation mentioned in verses 1 to 6 and how he is determined to worship his God in verse 7 to 11. And in this, let's see some details of worship. First, determination and focus in verse 7, first part. It says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast." In other versions, it is mentioned, "My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed." It is focused, brethren. A heart that is determined and focused will not be distracted by circumstances. And for David, he knows the focus of his worship, and his focus is his God. And brethren, the following actions are an outflow of a determined and focused heart before God. He is determined to worship his God. And that should be our heart also. We must be determined to worship God. Despite our situation, "Lord, I will worship you. Lord, I would want to honor you. I want to praise you, Lord." Sometimes we need to say, "Lord, help me to praise you. Lord, help me to worship you, to glorify you, even in my situation. Lord, help me." That's why there we could see determination and focus. And David's focus is his God. And that should be our heart also. Every time we worship our God, brethren, our focus must be God. Not the people around us, but God, brethren. Second, brethren, determined way of worship. In verse 7, second part, "I will sing, yes, I will sing praises." Though there are many ways to worship God, brethren, because our life should be a life of worship. Indeed, everything that we do is our worship to God. That's the reason why we need to always check our lives if we are living according to His will. But for David, at this point in time in his situation, David wants to worship God by singing. Okay? And take note that that is a natural expression of David's worship of God in the Psalms. That's the reason why it's good for us to study the book of Psalms, because in there, brethren, we could see David's heart longing for God even in his difficulties. When he is blessed, he praises God. When he is going through trials, he praises his God. He worships his God. And for him, he will not just sing. He will sing praises to his God. Now, when we say praises, praises are expression of admiration for God. Do you admire your God? Do you admire him in your life? So to praise him, brethren, you admire his work in your life, and that may be salvation, your salvation, his protection, his love, his care, his provision, his work in your relationship, in your family, in your ministry, in your service, and in everything in your life. You need to find ways to admire the God who saved you and is working in your life. Do you admire him? Because if you do, your admiration of God will burst out in your lips when you worship him. That's why when the worship leader says, "Let's Let's worship God. Kumbaga sa Tagalog, eh, parang hindi ka mapigilan. You want to burst out in praise before God and declare His greatness in your life. That's how you admire Him. Brethren, determined way to worship. I will worship God by singing. When you sing praise to God, do you sing with all your heart? When the worship ministry is leading us in worship, have you been worshiping God with all your heart? Do you clap because people are clapping? Or do you clap because you're clapping to God? Do you sing with all your heart before God? Or you're just singing for the sake of singing? There's a great difference there, brethren. Third, determined self, instrument, and time. Determined self, instrument, and time. Verse 8, awake my glory, awake harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. In that part, it starts with determined self. Awake my glory. It means you are really awake. You are alive. You are not sleepy. Brethren, because preparedness leads to awareness of what you want to do. Because, brethren, it's hard to worship when you are physically unprepared. That's the reason why we need to prepare ourselves when we are coming to God. Even doing your quiet time or your personal worship of God, we need to be prepared. You must not be sleepy. That's why David says, awake my glory. And he's saying to himself, gising ka, dapat gising ka. Bakit? Because God deserves your full attention. That's awake my glory. And this is important even when we are gathering as believers in Christ, when we are worshiping together in public worship like this. Brethren, we need to prepare ourselves. It's hard to listen to God or to worship God when we are sleepy. When we are tired. We need to prepare ourselves because we will listen to God. And He deserves your full attention. So don't allow yourself to be so tired of Saturday until evening that when you come to worship, you doze. Then you will say, ang pangpatulog ko si Pastor. Wag naman. Because you are listening to God. We are merely instruments here. God wants to speak to you. Determine self, awake my glory. Prepared. Next, determined instrument. Awake harp and lyre. For David wanted to worship God with his chosen instrument, something that is familiar to him. And for him, David enjoys his harp and lyre. He enjoys to worship God through his chosen instrument. He wants to declare his worship of God through singing with his instruments. And brethren, though our primary instrument is the heart, we can always use instruments, if you know to play it, of course, and instrumental or audio songs in our worship to aid us in our worship of God, in our private worship. For us here, we have instruments and praise God that we can worship God that way publicly. brethren. But David would want to play for his God. He wants to sing out his heart before God, playing his instrument. At the same time, determined time, I will awaken the dawn. David wanted to worship God early in the morning. Early in the morning. And for our private worship brethren, I believe morning is the best time to worship God, to do our devotions or quiet time just before we face the battle of our day, so that we can surrender first our lives to Him and let Him guide us in our day. And this is important, brethren. For David, early in the morning, he is already seeking his God. So we could see there, brethren, determined self, determined instrument, determined time. Brethren, many times our worship is dry because we don't have time for God. For David, he makes time for his God. I will awaken the dawn. I will come to my God. I will worship Him. Determined time. Again, determined self, determined instrument, determined time. Now, let's look at the fourth. Determined to minister to others. Verse 9 to 10. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your loving kindness is great to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. Brethren, David wanted others also to worship his God. His thanksgiving and praises to his God are ways for others to know who God is. Wow. We could see that David's praise and worship is not limited to him. He wanted others also to worship his God. Brethren, and I believe, brethren, David wanted everyone to see the greatness of his God as displayed in his character. That's the reason why our worship song should focus on God, His character, and what He has done for us. And indeed, we are doing that. But brethren, we need to always be reminded that when we worship also, when we praise God with our lips, with our hearts, when we are outside, not here, in our center or in this gathering, do we continually praise God that others would see that our God is great? That our God is worthy of worship. That's why, brethren, it is important that we see the greatness of God as displayed in His character. And brethren, this shows us also the importance of God's Word in our daily life and practice. That we know the truths of the Word of God, not only in our mind, but even in our practice, that we must be growing, brethren, in our daily application of God's Word in our lives. Because in that way, brethren, we can also help others know Him deeper. And you can be an instrument wherein others are helped. Because as they see you or hear you worship God, they may say, I want to know God the way He knows. That's the reason why, brethren, our acquaintance with the Word is acquaintance with God, with who our God is. Our acquaintance with the Word is acquaintance with who our God is. We need to know Him deeper. Please, every time you open your Bible, Don't just read it for the sake of reading. Remember, the Bible talks about your God. And you should know Him well. And for David, just imagine, he wants to tell it to the people, and David wants the nations also to hear his praise. Brethren, when we look at that, brethren, when we talk about nations there, he's talking about unbelieving nations. Which means, brethren, David wants others, not only the nation of Israel, to know the greatness of his God. He wants also others to know his God. And even though he's going through extreme difficulty, he wants to sing about how good God is so that others will hear and glorify God. Now, when we talk about ourselves, when we look at ourselves, brethren, are we declaring the praises of our God, the excellencies of our God to people who don't know Him yet? Are you testifying of God's greatness in your life where God placed you? You need to ask yourself, have you been honoring God where God placed you? Does they see God in you? Do they hear God in your lips? Not only when you pray for the food, but when you talk, when you discuss things, naisisingit mo ba si God? Naibabahagi mo ba si God? Is God part of it in your conversations? And brethren, David specifies two aspects of God's goodness, and that is His loving kindness and truth or faithfulness, brethren. Now, loving kindness is something that pertains to the mercy of God upon us. And it shows God's perfect loyalty to His own covenant and promises to us. And every time we experience God's loving kindness, every time we experience God's mercy and kindness and goodness upon us, brethren, others should hear it. Others should see that our God is real. Then he also mentioned truth. And truth points to God's faithfulness in His Word. That's the reason why in other versions it is translated faithfulness. And indeed, God is faithful. He is consistent and trustworthy, and He never fails His children when it comes to His will. God never fails us when it comes to His will. God remains faithful. And yes, He may bring us even to severe situations in our lives, and sometimes even to premature death. But there is not a person in history who has trusted in the living God and been disappointed. No. Even those who suffered greatly have testified to God's abundant love and faithfulness, which has sustained them. Paul's desire, as he was in prison, facing possible execution, should be ours also, brethren, when he said in Philippians 1, verse 20, Christ shall even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For Paul, everything that is happening in his life is connected to his God. It's about God. It's not about him. Now, this truth, brethren, should help us when we praise God. We need to continually hold on to God's loving kindness, faithfulness, and truth when we face trial. Why? Because Satan tempts us. And Satan will tempt us to doubt God when we are in trials. That's the reason why we need to hold on to God's loving kindness and faithfulness and truth. Satan will tempt us to think if God loves you, why is this happening in your life? Satan is good in doing that. But take note, brethren, God did not commit a mistake in allowing you to go through trials in your life. God did not commit a mistake even in allowing you to face that problem in your life. Because James chapter 1, verse 2 to 3 says, "Consider it joy, it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." It produces maturity. God allows you to go through trials, problems in your life so that you would grow, you would mature, so that you would depend more on Him. He is fixing things in your life so that you would not forget Him. He is revealing things in your life so that you would know Him better for your glory. And take note, brethren, that in all the things that is happening in our lives, God meant it for our good. Romans 8:28, you know this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And because God has a purpose in your life, He allowed that to happen. That is for you, for your good. And you need to find His purpose in your trials, in your problems. Lord, what's your purpose? What are the things that you want me to see in these problems, in these trials, Lord? What do you want me to know about you? How can I grow more, Lord? How could I depend more on you? How can I see, Lord? Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to see you. We need to ask that from God because He allowed it. In spite of his situation, David's voice comes singing from the cave. God, your loving kindness is great to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. Fifth, determined to exalt God and glorify His name. Verse 11, be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. Brethren, the beginning and end of our worship should be God's exaltation and glory. This is our purpose in everything that we do. God must be glorified. Because any act or attitude that is focused on us, it will not bring glory to His name. That's why, brethren, when we were saved, it's already about God, not about us. Yes, you are part of it, but it's about God. It's about God in you. It's about God working in your life. And He must be glorified. That's the reason why we must always assess the motive of our heart in everything that we do. That's the reason why 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And we need to always ask ourselves, Lord, did I glorify you? Can I glorify you with this? Even as you are sitting there, do you glorify God as you listen? Do you glorify God as He is ministering to you? God deserves all glory, brethren. Today, we look at two things, brethren. Our steadfastness to worship comes from our understanding of who God is in our lives. Second, our steadfastness to worship comes from our willful and determined heart to exalt and glorify Him. Brothers, sisters, your personal worship affects our corporate worship, whether you know it or not. The reason why God sanctifies us daily is for our greater capacity to worship and serve Him better while we are here on earth. And God is working in our hearts. Are you steadfast in your worship of God? Take note that your life is already in God, but it was never separated from the church where He placed you. Please, don't forget that. That's the reason why I believe that a true believer never forgets that he is part of the church. When I say that, I do not mean that you are only part of the Sunday service. Because I believe that the true Christian is part of a body to serve Him and to glorify Him. Every time our elders are announcing the activities of the church, you know that you must be part of it. Not sometimes. Because God placed you in His body to honor Him. God wants you to be used also for His kingdom because He gave you talents and gifts to be maximized for His purpose and glory. And that's part of your worship of Him. That's part of your worship of Him. So, brethren, let your life and everything you do be a manifestation of true worship before God who saved you. He saved you to worship Him. That everything that you do, bring glory to His name. Worship Him with all your heart. And brethren, you need to understand that the Lord had been steadfast in all His dealings with us. He is always steadfast. He is firm, He is loyal, He is always there for you and me. But how about us? But have you been steadfast in your relationship and worship of Him? If God is steadfast, we must also be steadfast. He is always faithful. And He wants also our faithfulness. He wants your faithfulness. And brethren, if somehow God is leading you to repent of something that is lacking or hindering you in your worship and service to God, do that now. Be humble before Him, for He still wants you to worship Him with a steadfast heart. Amen? Amen? Mahal ko po kayo, hindi ako galit. Okay? At mabuti po ang Panginoon. Amen? Amen. So let's stand up. Let's now worship our God. Father,
and we exalt you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you. For you are indeed a great God, a God who is steadfast in his love, a God who is merciful, a God who is alive and at work in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your grace upon each one of us. And so, Lord, thank you even for the message that you had given us. And I pray, Lord, let it bear fruit in us. I pray, Lord, in your grace, lead us, Lord, that we may live a steadfast worship before you, since you are always steadfast also to us. And help us, Lord, to walk in your will, that we may glorify you always. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and steadfast love that is always with us. And so, Lord, we ask that you will govern our lives this week and all the days of our lives, glorifying your name. And even as we part our ways, Lord, remind us, Father, to be faithful to you. Help us also to give our tithes and offering, Father, to honor you, since you are God who is also faithful in giving our needs. May we learn to appreciate you, O God, with all our blessings, that we may also learn to give back what is yours and give honor to you, Father, for you are faithful to us. And I pray for blessing upon each one who came today. And indeed, Lord, let thy word bear fruit in their lives. Bless them, Father, and glorify your name in each one of us. We give back the glory to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, brethren.